program created by the Rio Grande Oil Company from confidential police files.
Oakland police calling all cars, attention all cars, broadcast 70, regarding a murder. That's all.
That's us. Let's go.
Car, it's got a lot of pep. This old car's got a lot of pep.
Hey, it's a different car since we've been using that Rio Grande crack gasoline.
Oh, has the city changed gasoline? I didn't know.
No, you'd know the difference if you were driving police cars regularly. All the drivers are nuts about this new gasoline. It starts so fast. And look how it accelerates. Hey, I never got speed like this with the old gasoline.
Well, this hill will slow you up. Are all the Oakland police cars using Rio Grande gasoline now?
Yep. New city orders. All police cars, all fire engines, all emergency equipment. They've all switched to Rio Grande crack. The Berkeley police and fire departments are using Rio Grande, too. You know, it looks like all the cities are using it. I hear that Los Angeles police cars are using it for the third consecutive year now. And no wonder. Look how he breezed up that hill. In high, all the way.
Yeah.
I'd have been in second gear with that old gasoline. Rio Grande sure got the power.
Hey, I can feel the difference. You suppose Rio Grande makes a special gasoline for a police car?
Oh, no. It's the same gasoline you get from their independent dealers. You know, I'm using it now on the family bus. And I'm getting wonderful results. Just drive into any service station that advertises Rio Grande crack gasoline, and you'll get the same gasoline as these police cars are using.
Holy cats, we're here already. All right, blow up. Look out for trouble.
And now we take you to San Francisco, where Chief Bodie Wallman of the Oakland Police Department will speak to you from the studios of KFRC. Chief Wallman.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you who are regular listeners to Calling All Cars must have come to the realization that the average criminal is a pretty sorry fellow. He doesn't win. He never comes out ahead. And for the most part, he doesn't use much originality in the conception an execution of his crime. In telling the story of crime, the activities of the police are almost always the most interesting. But occasionally there occurs a case where the story of the man involved is the focal point of interest. Such is the story that we have to tell tonight. You will not hear a story reeking with blood and melodrama and complicated with detective work. Instead, we will tell the story of a man endowed with the attribute of greatness, but unable to cope with the bitter realities of life.
Mother of yours, I gotta make it come out.
Oh.
What?
Carlos, I must speak with you.
Did I not tell you not to disturb me? Didn't I tell you to leave me alone?
Yes, Carlos, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the baby has no milk, and...
You dare. When I am composing the most difficult passage of my symphony, You dare to bother me about milk?
I'm sorry, Carlos, but we must have money.
Money, money, that is all I hear. Why not earn money for you?
Yes, Carlos. You have been a good husband. Until you quit your job 3 months ago.
Oh, you accuse me.
No, Carlos, I don't accuse you.
Your voice, it was accusing. How could I go on in that job any longer? How could I continue to work in that music store, selling pianos to people who will never play them, listen to Big Talk Beethoven, when within me sang a great melody, a great symphony, burning, searing my soul, bursting the bonds of my brain, demanding to be written down that all the world might hear it.
Yes, Carlos, I know all that.
Not but... borrow money on my beautiful diamond ring so that you and the child could eat?
Carlos, you do?
Pay those people with all that money.
It is all gone, Carlos. There is no more money.
And get some more. Go out and walk these streets. Get it anywhere you like. Do not follow me.
Carlos, you must listen to me. We must have money.
Get out. Get out or I'll kill you with my two bare fists.
Carlos.
You heard me. I do not want to be annoyed. Get out! Get out! Get out!
A few days later, Carlos Madro is walking along a street in Oakland, wrapped in thoughts of his symphony, when he is hailed by a passerby.
Hello, Madro.
Oh, hello, Senor Harris.
Oh, you're just the man I wanted to see. Matter of fact, I've been looking for you for several days. Yes, regarding that loan I made you. Now, it's a month overdue, and you haven't even paid me the interest on it. Now, I'll have to have that money.
Money, money. Do not talk to me about money.
Well, I know it's a disagreeable subject, Madro. A root of all evil, as the Bible says. And I dare say the Bible's right, too. But it's what makes the world go round, you know.
That ring I gave you as security. It was many times the money you lent me. That ring is worth thousands of dollars.
But I can't tie up my funds with any ring. Now, if you don't pay me cash, why, I'll just have to sell the ring for what I can get out of it.
Sell the ring? No, you would not dare do that.
Why not?
My mother gave me that ring. It was worn by my father when he was at the court of the key in Madrid. It was the last of my father's treasure.
No, I can't help that, Madro. I can't let sentiment interfere with business, you know.
The ring, it is valuable to me. I will claim it someday. When my symphony is complete, I will have that money. I will be the most famous musician in the world. And I will pay you your money twice, three times over.
No, I can't count on promises, Madro, but I tell you what I will do. I'll give you until day after tomorrow. And if you don't pay up then, why, I'll just have to sell the ring.
No, you cannot do that.
Oh, yes, I can, and I will.
Very well. I get the money.
Now you're talking.
Come to my house tomorrow afternoon. Bring the ring with you.
That's fine, Madro. I'll be there, say, around 3 o'clock.
Three o'clock. 3 o'clock would be as good a time as any.
Right on the dot of three, as you can see.
I expect you will be on time.
You have the money?
Please, come in.
Thank you.
Into my studio here. You have got the ring?
Right here in the pocket.
I know. Sit down, Senor Harris. Before we conclude our dealings, there is something I want you to hear. Part of my symphony. Do you not think the world will pay to hear that? Do you not think that money will pour in from that? Money to pay you?
Now, look here, Madro. I haven't time to waste. I have other appointments this afternoon. Now, I came here in good faith, and you promised that you would pay me.
I will pay you. But you have not answered my question. What do you think of my symphony?
Well, now, I can't say, Madro. I don't know much about this classical stuff. I lean more to ragtime and Terry Jacobs.
You I don't care who makes this law.
I do not follow you.
Well, I mean, give the people something they can whistle, or something they can dance to.
You do not think the breaking heart of mankind sings in this? Do not think the heavy feet of destiny dance through these measures? Listen.
Argue that point with you, Madro. Of course, I don't know much about music, just like I said. You know, I'm just a plain businessman.
Hey, I say, shut up, listen. Listen to humanity on the rack. Listen to the century, street mockery. Listen to mankind revolt. Listen to the awakening of the world. Listen to the crushing of oppression.
Madro, I haven't any more time to waste here. I have a lot of appointments this afternoon. Now this demonstration has gone far enough. If you'll kindly pay me just as you promised, I'll turn over your ring to you and our dealings will be at an end.
Listen, Mr. Harris. Listen to my kind answer.
Now look here, man.
Our dealings are at an end.
Hey, pardon, Inspector Wallman, but there's a woman outside. I think you'd better talk to her.
Well, what's her trouble?
Yeah, she says she's afraid of her husband.
World would probably be a better place if more women were the same way. You take care of her, Sergeant. I've got a lot of things on my mind.
Yeah, well, this is important, Inspector. She's afraid her husband's going to kill her.
That's a little different. I suppose the perfect homicide squad should prevent murders as well as solve. Huh? Well, sure, in.
Yes, sir.
Will you come in, ma'am?
Thank you.
This gentleman here will take care of you.
Thank you. Are you the chief?
Well, no, not yet, but I have hope. Well, what can I do for you?
I'm frightened. I'm scared of my husband.
So the sergeant told me. Why are you frightened of your husband?
Well, last week he threatened to kill me when I asked him for money to buy milk for our baby. And today, when I came home, he had his diamond ring back and he tried to get me to go into his studio with him. He said, look, I got it back. Oh, there's a funny look in his eyes.
Now, wait a minute, wait a minute. What's the diamond ring to do with it?
Well, you see, he borrowed some money on his diamond ring so we could eat. And he didn't have any money to redeem it. I don't know how he got it back.
Well, how do you suppose he obtained it?
Oh, I'm afraid to think. He threatened to kill me. Maybe he killed Mr. Harris, the man who lent him the money.
Well, why didn't you ask him where he got the ring?
No, I was afraid. He's a strange ring. He kept telling me to come into his studio, and he never lets me in there.
I see. Well, we'll just calm your fears. I think Inspector Kai and I better see you home.
I heard it at last. Just listen.
Where's Harris?
I don't know.
He was here, wasn't he?
I didn't so perhaps he was. Because he left out. Not bother me now.
This guy's bunked or something, Kyle. Now keep your eye on him. I'm going to take a look at this closet. What's up?
Here's Harris.
You have spoiled it.
Murder.
You have spoiled it. I had the whole thing. The essence of humanity suffering. I had it, I tell you. You spoiled it.
Who killed this man? Who killed this man?
I don't know.
Inspectors Wallman and Kyle take Carlos Baggio to headquarters. For 2 hours, they questioned him in the presence of Chief of Police Peterson. Never does Modro deny his guilt, but seems, on the contrary, not to be listening to the questions of the other. Ceaselessly, he hums his symphony, trying to impress its melody and harmony into his brain, so that later he may write it down. When, apparently for the first time, the officer's questions penetrate his brain, Modro makes a simple confession, explaining in detail all that occurred. He is held to answer to a charge of murder, and a few months later is sentenced to San Quentin Penitentiary for life by a jury which, unimpressed by his plea of self-defense, has returned a verdict of second-degree murder. Shortly afterwards, he is delivered into the custody of the warden of San Quentin Prison.
There is no arrival today, McIntosh?
I hear one.
Where from?
Oakland. Second-degree murder.
Has he been taken care of?
Yes, sir. Mugged, printed, shaved, and outfitted. Waiting outside now if you want to talk to him.
Yes, I'll talk to him. Bring you in.
Aye, sir.
Come in here, 7612. Aye, you. My name is Carlos Modro.
Yes, you're off that when you walk through that gate out there. From now on, you're 7612. You see, the number's printed across your jacket.
See,
the warden wants to see you. Right this way. Here he is, sir.
Thanks, Mike. Well, that'll be all for friends.
Aye, sir.
Well, you don't look much like a murderer to me.
Not a murderer. I am a composer.
A composer? Well, that's fine. We'll find you a place in the printing plant.
You do not understand. I do not survive. I write music.
Oh, you write music.
All I wanted is something to finish my symphony.
I see. What is your name?
Modro. Carlos Modro.
Well, look here, Modro. Let's start off right. Let's understand each other, you and I. You'll have to work up here. You're going to start a life that is completely different. You'll have to adjust yourself to a set of circumstances completely different from any you've ever known before. And you won't find many people sympathetic with your desires to finish a symphony.
I'm willing to work, Warden. I suppose I have committed a crime. I'll pay for it. I'll do anything you say. You have saved my head. You've taken away my name. That is a right. I don't care what you do to me. Just so long as I can go on working. All I want is a piano so I can finish my symphony.
A piano? Well, Modro, ourselves don't come to it for piano.
But I must work on my symphony.
Well, we can place you in the prison orchestra. They rehearse once a week.
Once a week? But when can I work on my symphony?
I'm afraid, Modro, that you can't.
Now look here. Clarinet, not so loud. Must have learned to play in a beer garden band. String, more smart. Trumpet, you tap on the
trying to work out some harmony on my symphony.
Your symphony? You're worrying about your symphony when I can't even get these doomheads to play one to pay right. Now you save your symphony for when you get parole. Now, all together, boys, once more.
You'll get used to it. The juice mill always gets the fresh fish at first. Wait till you've been at it as long as I have.
How long is that?
5 years.
5 years in this terrible place. I cannot wait that long.
What's your hurry? You're not going anyplace.
5 years, 10 years, a life. No piano. Nothing but scraps of paper and bits of pencil. Nothing to beat our time. Nothing to help me get the notes on paper. Nothing. What is that? This machinery, these wheels, these belts, they have rhythm, they have tempo. That is it, that is it. My soul moving, my mind, the rhythm of the juice.
devil's the professor?
I don't know. I ain't seen him. Maybe he's got the pips.
Yeah, that'll be swell. Maybe we wouldn't have to have any practice.
Now, pipe down, you smugs. Here comes the warden.
Hey, look. The three piano player Medros with him.
A boy? Our officer leader, Dr. Steiner, has been forced to resign because of poor health. And I asked him if he could recommend anyone. To my surprise, he said that one of us here was even better qualified than he to lead the orchestra. So upon Dr. Steiner's recommendation, I'm turning the baton over to Carlos Madro, number 7612. He is in complete authority, and I expect you to obey his orders as explicitly as you did Dr. Steiner. That's all.
Looking for a parole?
Hey, a red apple in the teacher, eh?
Are you finished now? Thank you for the welcome. You'd rather have that than a lot of hypocritical applause. Now that I know what you think of me, I'll tell you what I think of you. I think you are the worst aggregation of so-called musicians I have ever heard in my life. I intend to change all that. I intend to make this a real orchestra. Do not worry. There will be no tale tied to the warden. We will handle this just between ourselves. I will see the job through. I have plenty of time. I'm here for life. Now that we understand each other, let's get to work. First violins and brushes, then clarinet. Start on high up. Come down to E and B, brushes and the bass. D minor chord on second beat, sustained. I play that very broad. Ready? Good. Now, once more. More forte this time.
Hey, what is this? A memory chord? Where's the parts of it, sir?
You'll get them soon. I'm still writing it.
Under Mobdro's expert musicianship, the San Quentin Prison Orchestra becomes a really fine musical organization. And its fame spreads all over the country. Slowly, Mobdro wins the hard-boiled members of his aggregation to a staunch personal loyalty. And many of the fine musicians he develops and sends forth from the grim walls of the old prison. Slowly, surely, Mobdro works on his symphony, aided by the bitterly won cooperation of his musicians in helping him solve many intricate problems of scoring. Finally, it's completed, and feverishly, Mobdro rehearses his men to prepare the composition for its first public playing at the holiday entertainment within the prison walls. At last, the great day arrives. Proudly, the warden announces to the inmates and the guests from the outside that the San Quentin Orchestra is about to play for the first time the Symphony No. 1 of Carlos Madro. Trembling with emotion, Madro takes the stand, raises his baton, crashes into the opening chords of his great work. As the symphony progresses, the jazz-minded convicts squirm in their seats. But a guest of the warden, seated in the front row, listens with keen interest.
Yeah, you know, warden, that's great stuff.
Yes, I'm mighty proud of that boy. This part of it he calls the rhythm of the jute mill.
Yeah, the rhythm of the jute mill, eh?
Yeah.
I don't suppose there's any chance of taking this outfit out of the vaudeville tour.
Well, hardly.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Too bad. I could clean up a fortune with him. And a great attraction.
Undoubtedly. But there's hardly any sense in carrying a 40-man crime wave around the country the way things are right now.
Yeah, that thing he's playing is good stuff. Yeah, I could do something with that.
What do you mean?
Well, get it published. But I suppose there'd be an objection to that, too.
No, I don't see why. Madro's done a very nice thing there. If he can realize honesty, he's entitled to it.
After all, the state saves $1,500 a year by using him as band leader instead of an outsider.
Will there be any chance of me seeing him after the concert?
Certainly. I'll have him sent to the office.
Friend of mine, Mr. Edward Combs.
Glad to meet you, senor.
Mr. Combs in the theatrical business, Mardo.
Yes.
Ah, it's a real pleasure to hear your composition tonight, Mardo. I want to congratulate you.
Yes, senor. I worked a long time on it.
Yeah, you can see that you have. I like particularly the third movement.
The mass. I call that the rhythm of the jute mill.
Yeah, so the warden told me.
Did I get the hopelessness, the suffering into it, Mr. Combs?
Yeah, I think you did.
Did you feel what I was driving at? That life is a duty, that we are all convicts, our souls in prison within our bodies, given a life term in a sloppy prison of flesh, that we labor there in that mortal duty hopelessly, until death arouses us. That is what I was trying to say of the fourth movement. The freedom, the parole that death brings, the transcending spirit solving all problems in eternal peace.
Yeah, I got all that. Very good. Very good indeed. You're a fine piece of work. Now, what I wanted to ask you, Margot, would you be willing to have this work published?
To have it published? To bring this message to the world? Will you publish it for me? Can you do it for me?
Can and I will.
Wonderful. This is more than I ever expected. More than I hoped could happen. To be able to bring my message to the world.
We will do that, Margot, I can assure you. We will make recordings of it so that people can play it in their homes.
Recordings of it? Magnifico, magnifico. Be sure to tell whoever makes the record what I have just told you. It's all there. It's all in the music.
Of course it is. Amado, I've done up a little agreement here. If you'll just sign it.
You promise you will publish it and then make recordings of it?
Yes.
And I can give it to him. I'll sign it. There is only one thing more to your code.
Yeah, what's that?
Send me the first record they make, will you?
I certainly will. The very first record will come to you.
Thank you, senor. Thank you very much.
For weeks, Happy Carlos Madro walks the prison yard on clouds. His imprisonment means nothing to him now. He tastes the sweet nectar of artistic achievement and already is planning his symphony number 2, his next great work. And then one day he receives a summons to the warden's office.
Come in, Margot.
You sent for me, senor?
Yes. The record's come.
Let me hear it. Let me hear it.
Right away. I had my electric phonograph brought over from the house so that you would get every note.
Please turn it on. Turn it on quickly, please.
Very well. Here it is.
What? That is not my symphony.
Of course it is.
It is not a symphony orchestra. That is a band. Here, let me see the record.
There you are.
Von Quentin Marx. Convict number 7612. My rhythm of the jute mill, played by a cheap band.
You want to hear the rest of it?
Well, thank you.
Well, here's your record.
I do not want it.
Why, what's the matter, Bartle? Where are you going?
I'm going back to the jute mill.
Thank you.
Spring saved the state $10,000 by his services as orchestra leader, the man we have called Carlos Madro was finally paroled in 1929, a broken and sick old man to be deported to his native Spain. It is said that through the success of his published music, he realized more than $100,000 during the time he was in prison, and that this sum was held by influential friends who sponsored his parole. But for him, spiritual life ended when his dream of artistic success was shattered. Having suffered one stroke prior to his release from prison, it is doubtful if he is alive today. Calling all cars is a presentation of the Rio Grande Oil Company, refiners and marketers of Rio Grande cracked gasoline.
Oakland police calling all cars, attention all cars. The cancellation broadcast 70 regarding a murder. Suspect in this case is now in custody. That's all.
Written and produced by William N. Robeson. Original music for tonight's broadcast was composed and arranged by Albert K. Malott. The orchestra was under the direction of Frederick Starr. This is your narrator, Frederick Lindsley, saying good night for the Rio Grande Oil Company.